morning.
Good morning.
Now, Sylvia, you are a writer, you're a journalist, you've got lots of books under your belt as well as looking after the Society of Women Writers and Journalists and Brentwood Writer Circle, so you're a busy lady.
Fairly, yeah. It all gets fitted in at some point. Sometimes we forget things, but it's all there.
Now, what's coming up for you at the moment with Brentwood Billericay Readers and Brentwood Writers?
Oh, well, for the first time in 18 months on Saturday, the Brentwood Writers Circle met together, and it was lovely. Not a huge group, but a good dozen or so turned up. And we had a good time listening to what some of the members have been writing. So prolific, it's amazing. We read them out. Each one read out their story or what they've had published, and it's super how busy they've all been. We, as you know, our 80th anniversary was this year, but we couldn't really celebrate because of COVID.
Yep.
But and the celebration really will take place in the spring. But we still have our super book, which is selling well, I believe, in Amazon and other places. And again, it's a circle of words, that's the name of it, and people can buy it from us for $6.99. And it's a good book. I think it's excellent. And more details about this are on our website, which, as you know, is BrentwoodWriterCircle.org.
What's happening with the Society of Women Writers and Journalists?
Oh, yes. Yesterday we had a big meeting that took a couple of hours, and that went well. We are planning always to see how we can help our members. We've got quite a lot all over the world. And Rebecca Harding, our chairman, it's full of bright ideas. We're thinking of having a really nice Christmas gathering at the National Liberal Club. That's where we meet usually when we're not having to stay at home. And we're going there, and probably in December, but the exact date hasn't been announced yet. But we'll let people know, because we have various members in Brentwood, Billericay, and all through Essex, including our lovely, lovely Bill Brown, who'll be ringing from Manningtree fairly soon and telling us all about her new book.
Which is called May's Boys, isn't it?
Yes. So I haven't read that yet, but I'm looking forward to it, adding it to my list. But I'm reading a super book called Fighting for the Empire, and it's one of our members, David Worsfold, at Brentwood. He wrote it a couple of years back, and I will need all my attention because I'll be learning about India and how all the things that happen there, all the different battles and so on. I'm looking forward to that, as it's something different for me.
Yes.
And my review eventually will be on my weblog when I've read it and reviewed it.
You don't slow down, do you, Sylvia? You're always doing something every day.
These are my interests, and you've got to keep going, particularly as a writer, because ideas are popping up all the time. And I am approached by various people as to how they can get going, and we try to help them. And as I say, the Billericay Readers Group is still going well. And we've been meeting in the park, Lake Meadows, that gorgeous park in Billericay, to hold our meetings during COVID. But hopefully we can get together soon in Billericay Library.
Now, we've got the challenge every week, haven't we?
Every month.
Which you've been, and last month you were right on the dot with it. It's 60 seconds of history.
Well, this will be for somebody who is new in Brentwood and was interested in the memorial that stands near Wilson's Corner. So it's a little bit of history about that, how it started.
Excellent.
Okay?
Yep, off you go.
In 1861, the Brentwood hierarchy decided to raise an obelisk in the memory of William Hunter, the 19-year-old Brentwood martyr who died by burning at the stake for his religion. In times gone by, when a public statue was required, it was paid for by public subscription. And this monument was placed in Shenfield Road, close to the High Street at Wilson's Corner. It stood there for 50 years until 1909, fire destroyed it, and almost the monument, which was restored the following year. Although the fire cracks can still be seen, the inscription engraved on the stone includes the following: to the pious memory of William Hunter, a native of Brentwood, who, maintaining his right to search the scriptures and in all matters of faith and practice, to follow their sole guidance, was condemned at the early age of 19 by Bishop Bonner in the reign of Queen Mary and burned at the stake near this spot, March 1555, ends.
And you were dead on a minute. How do you do this?
I don't know.
Have you got a stopwatch? I bet you haven't, have you?
No.
No.
But I know about 163 words.
Ah.
And Janet, who asked me for the information, I will put a picture of the monument on my web blog today.
Excellent.
So that she can see what we're talking about.
What a great bit of history that was.
Yeah.
For people who might not know who live in the area.
Good old Brentwood, but what a wicked, horrible thing to do to a young boy.
I know, grisly, isn't it, when you look back in the past. Sometimes you can go to old pubs in, there's one called The Bell in West Horndon, and it's a lovely pub, and then you find out they used to burn witches in the back garden.
Oh,
it wasn't the back garden then, but you're like, oh, that's put me off my mistake. Yes. Well, maybe.
And one thing I will say, we're still doing the Essex Book Festival. We've got one towards the end of the month.
Yep.
And it's been, despite this terrible situation really, we have managed to keep going. So 3 months of Essex Book Festival. Check my web blog.
Oh, sounded very authoritarian there, Sylvia.
Yeah.
Check my web blog, because it's Sylvia.
I sound bossy, don't I?
You do very sound very bossy. Hopefully we'll have you back in the studio maybe in the next show, because we've not seen each other for a very long time.
After you've had your holiday.
Yes, once I've had my break, I'm off for the next 2 weeks from Monday, so looking forward to that. So thank you for chatting to us. We're going to be talking to Beryl in the next 10 or 15 minutes, and we'll talk to you again in another month.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, lovely.
Thank you.
Bye. Right, just coming up to 12:06, and it is part two of the book club, and I'm joined by writer Beryl Brown. Hi, Beryl, how are you?
Hello, Michelle, I'm fine, thank you.
It's great to talk to you. We've just spoken to Sylvia for the last couple of minutes. So before we talk about your novel, Maze Boys, when did you first start writing? Was that something you did as a child, or did it come later?
English language and English literature were my best subjects at school. But after that, I didn't do a great deal until probably in my mid-40s. I've always read and always had a book in my hand. My mum used to say I always had my head in a book when I was a child. But one of the things I used to enjoy, we had horses, and I used to enjoy Dick Francis's crime horse racing stories. And when I sort of read all of those, and I went on to his autobiography, and they were describing his writing day and his procedure and so on, and I thought, actually, you know what, I've always wanted to write something, perhaps I'll give it a go. We were living in the New Forest at the time, and it was about a week after I thought this, the adult education brochure came through the letterbox, and there was a course on creative writing, and I joined that at the local secondary school. We did a course. The tutor was very good. She gave a very broad range of genres. And the group gelled really, really well. And we asked, could we do another course and another course? And I think in the end we did a year's course. And that covered everything from short stories to poetry to script writing. And we submitted that for a portfolio. And we got a certificate as a result. So that was really what sort of set me on the road.
I was going to ask you about sitting down to write, because I know it's different for every writer, but it does take dedication, and you have to dedicate time and you have to sit there. So how would a writing day be for you?
Usually I sort of get up and do housework and that sort of thing, then sit in front of my computer with my breakfast, do my emails and so on, and then I just start writing. I mean, it doesn't happen every day. Family things get in the way. We have to shop, don't we? We have to do other things. But in the main, I write better in the morning than I do the rest of the day. So I, on an ideal day, I'd work from about 10 o'clock until lunchtime writing or editing or doing research.
And Maze Boys, which is your novel, originally started as a short story assignment, didn't it?
It did, yes. I was doing a BA course. And they asked, my final assignment for the particular module was a 4,000-word short story. And I'd recently been on a writing workshop in Dorset, where we were living then, to the Dorset Records office. And they had the Dorset Federation of Women's Institutes World War Record book as one of the things we were allowed to look at. And I found it so fascinating reading about what had happened to the various people in the war. There were just individual reports from each of the villages, often handwritten, often hand illustrated, but they did include anecdotes and details about the evacuees in particular, and that triggered memories of my mum telling us her stories of being evacuated to Wiltshire in the war. And so I sort of went on from there and produced this this short story.
So tell us a little bit about the novel. Obviously, we want people to buy it, so we don't want to give too much away. But tell us about it and the main characters.
Well, the main character is May. Now, that's my mother's name. The main character isn't my mother, but I gave her the name because of the inspiration that came from my mum. And May was widowed before the war. Her husband died in a farming accident. May is in her mid-30s. She sort of thought her life had more or less come to an end, that the war was on the horizon, the men would be going away, she and her husband hadn't had any children, and I think she sort of saw a rather bleak future. But when the war started, of course, the evacuees came, and she was allocated a lad from Southampton, and he was with her the whole of the duration, and they became like mother and son, a really, really close relationship. And when it comes towards the end, when it becomes obvious the war is going to shortly end, because the book opens in 1944, they really don't want to be separated. And the book is really about her and Cliff, the boy's search for his estranged mother, and whether they can manage to persuade her to allow Cliff to be adopted by May.
Yeah.
And obviously the second character is Cliff himself. He was 5 when he came from Southampton to live in the village. Like a lot of evacuees, had no idea of country life, had never been to the country before, had only known the city. Unfortunately, his mum was a dock's prostitute, and she often left him at home on his own when she went out to work. So he hadn't been very well cared for. She expected him to steal things from market stalls and this sort of thing. And it was a huge change for him to come to the country. Mm. But he absolutely loved it. He settled down with May and he really wanted to stay there. And as I say, this is the story of how they go about attempting to get his adoption.
And this would have happened during the war with, you know, sometimes children went when they were evacuated to places that weren't very nice, and other times they went to places that were far better than the home life that they had come from.
Absolutely. I mean, my mum made a lifetime friend with the family she was evacuated to, but her stories were all about the fact that the children were not welcomed in the village. The other children didn't like them. They totally resented them. And I think they gave them a generally hard time. But then other people, as you say, settled down, had a wonderful time, never left or certainly returned on many occasions.
So you're writing a follow-up novel. Is that, you're still writing that at the moment?
I've just finished it. I'm starting my first edit on it. I hadn't intended to continue it, but people who've read the book kept asking me what happened next.
Yeah.
So I went on to write this second book, a sequel to May's Boys. It's called May's Stony Road. And it opens in 1947. And I really didn't know until I started thinking, well, when should I set it? Okay, 15 months ahead after the end of May's Boys sounds fine. That 1947 was a year of a really dreadful winter. There was a freeze for the first 3 months of the year. People couldn't get fuel. They were still on rationing, so food was difficult. People couldn't get to work. Factories closed. It really was one of the worst winters of the last century. And so that was a good starting point, actually. It made it sort of something that I could get straight into, and they can battle the elements as well as the other things they have to face.
I tell you what, the way you're describing it, it does make it seem like it could be a 10-part series on ITV. I'm sure they should be in contact for this.
Well, I'd love them too. Thank you very much.
Oh, that would be fantastic. So the book is out now, Beryl, and if people want to get a copy of it, I know you've got your website, berylbrown.uk, or the W is Beryl Brown. www.thebookshop.co.uk. But where can people get a copy of the book?
It's in three different versions. The paperback and the e-book are available from all the online suppliers. And I was lucky enough to sell the large print rights. That's for the books that you see in the libraries, so people who don't have perhaps very good sight, printed in larger print. I sold that to a publisher called Alverscroft, and they are distributing it to libraries all over the country. So it's available in that form if people prefer to read it that way.
Oh, that is brilliant. Lovely to talk to you. Best of luck with the book. It sounds absolutely brilliant. And I'm sure you'll get some sort of TV or film out of that, because it just sounds like something I'd love to watch.
Well, thank you, Michelle. That's great. Lovely. Thank you.
Lovely. So that's May's Boys. That is out now, and it's Beryl Brown. And as Beryl said, you can get that at the library, and it's in all good online and bookshops, etc. So you have a great afternoon. It's lovely to talk to you, and we'll talk again, Beryl.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thanks Bye-bye. A lot. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Oh, wasn't that great? All the W's at berylpbrown.uk if you want to find out more, and I'll have all the details up on the website a little bit later.